This is another edition of Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. And you can find out more all book-books.com and my Substack, Musing from Between the Lines. So I've talked about this before. One of the most influential books for me recently and affected my recent book, Moving Through the Empty Gate Forest, Marshall McLuhan's The Gutenberg Galaxy, when he talks about the technology and the effects of the alphabet. And he uses a word which I find extremely helpful nowadays, interiorization. And so I want to talk about this in the context of some of what he mentions and also take it to another level. One definition that is not McLuhan's, but a general definition. Interiorization is the process of making things such as skills, attitudes, thoughts, and knowledge a part of one's own being. Essentially, it is what is colloquially known as knowing something by heart or being second nature. Used interchangeably with the term internalization, an example would be driving a car or working with familiar equipment. These are tasks that require a great deal of effort and concentration when first being learned, but seem extremely easy as experience is gained. Now, I sometimes think about that when I get in the car and I'm driving somewhere. I'm like, I'm not even thinking about this. It's just know how to do it. It doesn't mean you don't have to pay attention and stuff like that, but you get the point. So the main issue with interiorization nowadays that I find is the technology, and I notice this even in the morning when I get up and I feel a certain way and I get online and I start looking at some articles and copying some links to send to someone and the headlines, and there's a flurry of activity, and sometimes immediately I feel a shift of energy as if I'm getting almost on overload, or I get a little jumpy or hyper or something like that. And well, sometimes that's a normal workload experience, but I notice that because I translate that as the links and the speed and the information and all that is affecting people's the nervous systems, it said, and the consciousness, and people are getting interiorizationalized from the gadgetry. One little anecdote, on my way home from the city last weekend, in the evening I stopped at one of those visitor center, they have a nice snack bar, all local products and stuff, and I got two items, I scanned, I looked around, there was people, but nobody, there was no checkout, so you had to scan in your own thing. So there was two products, and I scanned one, and then I scanned the other one like five times, and the price would not go on the thing. So I did it one more time, and then the price went on twice. So I tried to cancel it. It didn't work. So I'm looking around, and I see a guy that he looks like he works there. And I said, "Do you work here?" And he says something like, "It's good now." He didn't even look at me. He was just, "It's good now," meaning like he had fixed it. He had taken off the extra item. And what struck me was there was sorry for the inconvenience. I just fixed it. Have a good night. There was no personal, that personal touch that makes a difference between I want to go back to that place or not, kind of thing. So I attribute that to the sort of mechanization happening now. A lot of times you go into a store and they ask, are you a member? Do you have a card? It's like, it's all, and they don't, how many times they say that, but they don't say, "Hey, how are you feeling today? What's going on in your world?" So it's like people are getting programmed by this technology. And that to me is an example of the interiorization that people are taking on. They're becoming like the technology. And they're becoming less interactive. Some people, obviously not all people, but some people. That's the sway I find of some of the technology that I find annoying, to say the least. So a few quotes from the Gutenberg Galaxy from Marshall McLuhan. Every technology contrived and ordered by man has the power to numb human awareness during the period of its first interiorization. The interiorization of the technology of the phonetic alphabet translates man from the magical world of the ear to the neutral visual world. Well, that's what the book is about. He talks about, and what I talk about in my book a little bit, is he goes back to the importance of the phonetic alphabet and how that got much of human consciousness into the visual, and it's very abstract. We've lost touch with what the letters actually mean, so we're kind of programmed by these abstract letters, and then that becomes the keyboard and etc. So that's a kind of technology that was, in essence, one of the first technologies that pre-gadget. So it's not really anything new that's happening now. It's just on another level. Another quote: when technology extends one of our senses, a new translation of culture occurs as swiftly as the new technology is interiorized. So our senses have become very visual and tactile, to the point of, you know, touching the buttons and gadgets, so that the plastic and the metal and all the minerals in there, that the essentially the plastic gadget becomes the tactile, and then it's all very visual. And here's a quote, I don't know if this is McLuhan, but the Greeks invented both their artistic and scientific novelties after the interiorization of the alphabet. Homogeneity and repeatability, emergence from audio-tactile to visual matrix. So again, he's pointing, this pointing to the homogeneity and the repeatability, which is very much a part of the gadgets. You know, everybody know, yeah, you do, you click this, you click that, you go here, you go there, that's this robotic patterning that's happening, that, you know, is losing touch with a lot of intuition and spontaneity. A child, and here's another quote from the book, a child in any Western milieu is surrounded by an abstract, explicit visual technology of uniform time and uniform continuous space, in which cause is efficient and sequential, and things move and happen on single planes and in successive order. But the African child, I guess you could equate indigenous, you could fill in the blank there, but the African child lives in the implicit magical world of the resonant oral word, a world of sound and touch, direct interconnection and significance. So again, he's pointing to the sensory and the multi-senses that we are, many are losing touch with the fixation with the gadget. New technology extends on one or more of our senses into the world, thus changing the ratios among our senses. Audio, auditory field, mosaic or two-dimensional approach, as opposed to three-dimensionality of the visual field. So there's many layers of the senses one could get into. Now, what I want to do is extend this to another level. Is on the, it made me think of the interiorization on an energy and a spiritual level. So, for example, the core of my path is the mystical Kabbalah. Kabbalah translates as personally received teaching. So this is much of a guidance that is basically, in a vernacular kind of expression, is just sitting around not doing a whole lot and receiving energy, receiving a teaching from many different layers, levels. That's a whole longer explanation, but I'm simplifying it here. But the point being is that there is an energy coming in that can be received. Anybody can, in their own way. It happens all the time. Just wake up in the morning in the sunlight. We are personally receiving energy from the sunlight. And that is, there's a teaching in that. If one would stop and think about that, or feel that, or talk with the sun or whatever, that is a form, without officially doing what's called Kabbalah, that is a form of the essence of it. The gist of what I'm trying to describe here is that personally received teaching is a form of interiorization. If you meditate or you know, if you get a massage or Reiki or whatever, your energy changes. You feel the shift in your energy, and that is a form of interiorization in this example I'm giving. So I feel like what is lacking, and at least a balance for the technology, and I know I have to do this, is the balance between the technology energy and the direct receiving energy, which also ties into what I talk a lot about, is the indigenous people's ways, original peoples, because they are most connected, relating with the land and the cosmos and the direct senses out in the real world. There is a level of building up our interior energies, and we are multi-dimensional beings. We can have dreams at night, for example, and get different information, go to different places, receive guidance, whatever. There's many layers to what I'm loosely connecting here with interiorization, but that the energy, I think, again, that's important that we, I know for myself anyway, to build up that energy, to maintain that energy. One example is that, say, you know, if I write something and I get a nice comment or an outward praise, of course that feels good, but then there's an inner knowing that I wrote a good piece, or that you know, it's good. And they both have their place, but the longer lasting one that's with me all the time is the inner knowing. So I think this too relates to the world of likes and comments and stuff. It has its place and it's nice, but the longer lasting and what takes the work to develop and build up is the inner knowing that, okay, I didn't get any comments, or I got one comment, or I got 100 nice comments, but I'm gonna still keep writing. That's that inner knowing, that interiorization for me, of a process that keeps, you know, keeps things rolling. So again, it's like a contrast with the outside world of the, you know, all the attention that one gets with the technology. So one book that one can look up to find about Kabbalah is from 1968, William Gray, The Ladder of Lights, William G. Gray. And it's just chock full of so many things. It's I could read it every day and learn something new every day. This is one of the kind of roots of my experience with the Kabbalah. And I will say that the book itself is not the Kabbalah. It's reading about the Kabbalah, because the actual Kabbalah is a practice, a daily practice, which involves different layers of activities, so that one can read about it and learn about it, but the actual Kabbalah is what one personally receives, a personally received teaching. So no book and no teacher can ever be Kabbalah, but it can point you to it. And some of the stuff in the book differs from how I approach it and my path that I learned. Overall, it's a huge guidance, and it, in a few words, it explains the different stations of the Tree of Life and the dimensions of that, with angels, archangels, and what are called God aspects. And they are all part of that building up of the interior energies, which also relate to the exterior and the outer energies, in the way that there is earth and water and wind and fire outside and inside us. And much of the book and much of Kabbalah is about aligning oneself with the already existing patterns and energies. So chapter one, I'll just read a little bit. The pattern of things. We live in patterns because we have to. They are inescapable. The cosmos is a pattern, so are we. There are patterns of spirit, soul, mind, and body extending through all states of existence. We can find them readily enough anywhere. Our human bodies are a magic maze of patterns throughout their cellular structure. We have only to look at our own fingertips to observe our individual patterning. Insofar as the pattern of anything may be called a symbol, each of us are living symbols forming part of the great design we can only think of as divine life. The basic facts are simple enough. We live between two worlds or states of existence, the outer world of ordinary mundane living and the mysterious inner world of thoughts, feelings, and subjective activities, which we vaguely classify as, quote, spiritual, unquote. Both worlds are real in relation to ourselves, and the energies operating through them are transmutable and interchangeable from one to another. The patterns formed by such exchanges are those by which we live. We can alter ourselves by altering our life patterns and vice versa. We and they are interdependent. So we can alter ourselves. We have this ability. So how are we going to choose this? Through conscious effort for building up our inner energies? Or are we, I'm talking about in general, humanity, are we becoming so mechanized that we lose touch with these interior? I don't think we can lose touch with the interior if you make the effort to nurture that. And speaking of the pattern of the fingertips, I had read, I think it's The Spell of the Sensuous, a book I mentioned, there's this little section about the Navajo or the Diné, and that certain wind patterns they see in the swirl of the fingerprints. Yes, I want to read this little bit because it connects, and if you notice, it connects with the winds and the breath, which that is in the Kabbalah. Archangel Raphael is the caregiver of the air and the winds and mental energies, among other things. So this is fascinating to me, the Diné people have such a deep understanding of the wind, so it goes into a lot of depth. But here's an example, here's a quote. As one elder explains, there are whirls, whorls, there are whirls here at the tips of our fingers. Winds stick out here. It is the same way on the toes of our feet, and winds exist on us here where soft spots are, where there are spirals. At the tops of our heads, some children have two spirals, some have only one, you see. I am saying that those who have two live by means of two winds. These winds sticking out of the whorls at the tips of our toes hold us to the earth. Those at our fingertips hold us to the sky. Because of these, we do not fall when we move about. So that's a whole complex, intricate study. And point being, this internalization or interiorization can be explored. Really, I think, the ancient and timeless ways and practices of whatever traditions that have this kind of information, and that seems what is in jeopardy with the fixation of people if they become in gadgetry interiorized. And just to wrap up this sort of thought pattern going on here, that the as much as it is true one can build up one's interior energies, it's also helpful to remember the big picture that there is a lack of delineation, that the interior and the exterior are interactive and intertwining. So that's a whole nother level to explore with one's self, and that's a whole nother dimension one can explore. So thanks for listening, and be well, and happy summertime to you.